Today, I first want to start with an apology and a confession. And I struggled in my mind to say, okay, which should I do first? I decided, let's go with the hard one first. Let's do the apology first. As I read all these readings and I was contemplating them, and the first thing that came into my mind about a homily was to make you all feel guilty. As I was reading these, and as our readings you can hear are about prayer and about communication with God, I was going to get and challenge you and say, how much time do you spend with God? Do you spend more time with God than you spend this? But I thought about it, and I thought, you know, my job is not to make you feel guilty, and so I'm apologizing. I'm apologizing to even think that that was a good way to start a homily. Sometimes the Holy Spirit intervenes, and this week, thank goodness, the Holy Spirit intervened for me, the Holy Spirit said to me, how cowardly you are to sit a sinner to come ahead of in front of people and point out their deficiencies and make them feel guilty about it. And so for that, I apologize. Guilt is when our errant desires meets the truth. And Jesus does not want us to address him and come to him in guilt. That's not my job, is to highlight guilt in our lives. And so my job as a pastor is, yes, to offer the truth. But if my only job as a pastor was offer you the truth, I could just give you all the catechism of the Catholic Church, and every week I would stand up here and just take questions. What does this mean? What does that mean? So as a pastor, I felt, I know it's not my job just to offer truth. Now my confession. And it has to do with my apology, because when I first learned of being in a seminary and being a priest and learning what a priest is to do, they said a priest has three jobs or three positions. One is teacher, one is sanctifier, do the liturgy, and one is administrator. And as I went through seminary, I thought that the best way to teach people is to point out their faults. Well, you're doing that wrong. You're doing this wrong. And as you kids know, that's not the best teacher, is it? To just point out what you're doing wrong. I thought being a good pastor and giving good homilies was asking you questions like, are you praying enough? Do you go to Mass every Sunday? Do you go to confession regularly? Do you love God and do you love your neighbor? All in the hopes that I would have you say, gee, you know, Father, no, I don't. I feel really bad about that. I'll try to do better. I won't let God down. I thought that's what I was supposed to do as a teacher. But over the years that I've been here as a pastor and I've been a priest, which has not been that long, but still long enough. And as I have gotten to know more and more people in our parish, I realize the brokenness that we all carry with us, the struggles that we all carry with us. And it doesn't take courage to just point those out to people. I looked and have changed how I look at everyone. Because now I don't look at the sin. I look at the grace that I see in everyone. And I look at how grace is fighting its way through all the faults and failures that we all have. And I think that's the beginnings of love. I think that's how you love somebody. And I think that's really what our readings are about today. They're not just about prayer, and they're not just about communicating with God. God is trying to tell us something more. He's trying to tell us that sin and grace are connected in our lives. He's trying to tell us that he accepts us and has fixed everything for us. As I have come to know the parish, I know that some of you sitting here have had problems with addictions, with alcohol. Probably some probably still do as they're sitting here. Some of you have probably spent too much time on the internet looking at things you shouldn't have done. Some of you might be consumed with the things that you have. Some of you might feel a really close connection to God, but you're struggling because you got cancer, or someone you love died, or someone that you love hurt you and is no longer talking to you. Why did that happen, God? Those are all the struggles that I have seen in our parish over the 5 years that I have been a pastor here. And yes, I have seen faith as strong as redwoods that do spiritually hold up our parish. But I've also seen people sitting here today that probably their faith is like a thread. It's like a seedling that they're just hoping nothing will come along and destroy it. What our readings today and what Jesus is offering us today is that connection between sin and grace. We who have sinned can appreciate the offer that Jesus has given us, the offer that St. Paul writes about. St. Paul in our second reading said this, that even when you were dead in transgressions, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven all your transgressions. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has given us all life, not if we're perfect, not when we have fixed all our wrongs, but has given us life and has forgiven all our transgressions. Can you believe that? That means that everything I might have mentioned, all the things that haunt us, maybe it's the sin of pride, maybe it's the sin of envy, maybe it's greed, maybe it's fear, maybe it's addictions, they've all been forgiven through the actions of Jesus. No payment, no payback, and no conditions. In Jesus' word, he says, for everyone who asks will receive. The one who seeks will find. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus is not talking about us asking for stuff. He's not talking about asking us for healing of some terrible disease we might have. How do I know that's not what this is about? Very practically, because it doesn't work. Many of us have asked and prayed for things, and we didn't get them. So Jesus isn't telling us that every time we pray to him and ask for something, by golly, we're going to get it. What Jesus is saying is that because we have sinned, and because he has forgiven all of our transgressions, we can cherish the full pardon that we've been given. And for any of us who have carried a deep sin, when we come to Jesus with that, imagine how much more we can appreciate the words, your transgressions are forgiven. Many of the great saints we have are converted sinners. And our greatest chance to receive transformative grace may have been an opportunity that followed our greatest sin. When we finally turned to God and said, God, help me. That's the greatest opportunity when the door was opened. When Jesus talks about the door being opened, it's when we come to him, not fixed, but broken. God doesn't want your devotion. He wants you. And he wants you in the exact broken state that you're in, asking for his grace. He wants you to come to him with all your doubts, with all your struggles, with everything you have. Don't wait at the back door until you're fixed. We can, in all of our weaknesses, approach Jesus with confidence. That's what he's saying. Because if we who are wicked know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to guide us? Then, the Our Father prayer is not just a prayer of petition every time we say it. It's a prayer of self-giving. Jesus, I'm coming. Our Father, I'm coming to you. This is what the church should be. This is what I should be. And that's my confession to you today. This is what I want to be. We are here all together trying to get closer to God. And we're fumbling through it. We're fumbling through our hurts, our sins, to ask for God's grace. And we're getting closer to him and being renewed slowly in our faith. Some of us are way ahead of others. But my confession is that I'm a fumbler. And I am going to be a fumbler, Pastor. And I want to walk with other fumblers. We need and should welcome everyone, because the ones in strong faith are the ones that carry us fumblers along, because we see what's possible by the grace of God. Today's readings are an invitation for you, for me, as a fumbler, to walk with other fumblers in our faith.